This is the day that the Lord has. What'd you say, man? Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. God is so good. I'm excited, church people. I mean it. God is, there's just this underlying incitement that's in my heart. I guess you could say anticipation for what God is doing in this church and in America. Oh, some people would say, well, all is lost. Oh, man, no, God is in control. And I just want you guys to be excited and anticipate awesome, wonderful things from the Most High God. Can I get a witness? Amen. Come on, give them some praise, guys. So anyways, Psalm 121 is where we're going to be at this morning. It's a short, I think it's like 8 verses. But what it is, it's a psalm of ascent. So it is a hymn or a worship song that as the Israelites would go on their required pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple, which they had to do periodically for special feast days like Pentecost, Tabernacles, and Passover, they were required to go on these pilgrimages to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship. And it was an exciting time for them. And they would sing these songs. And as you think about, I haven't really thought about this too much, but, you know, this is something that they were required to do, to go to worship at the temple from time to time. So this would be a big, big deal for these guys. They couldn't get a plane ticket. They couldn't drive the car. You know, these things that we just take for granted. You know, if I got to go across country, it's going to be a lot easier than just me pulling a donkey and a bunch of kids, you know, up and down hills and all that. You know, we're so blessed. But see, this is what God required of them to do. And they would sing these songs of worship and anticipation as they would get closer to this feast. And so this is one of my favorite songs of ascent right here. And let me just read it real fast, guys. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's all we have to talk about right there. I mean, we could just talk about that for the next few minutes. God is just so good. I'm kind of excited. Let me just mellow out. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help? It's the first time I said mellow out in a long time. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's not a question mark, by the way. Who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Isn't that cool? The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that your will is going to be done with this service. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Father God, that we're going to leave here refreshed and encouraged and excited, Lord. And that if any of us are feeling discouraged or heaviness or anxiety, Lord, we're going to leave here different. We're going to leave here blessed, Lord. Thank you for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit right now to each and every person in this congregation that wants to receive a blessing from you, Lord. Thank you that you are topping them off right now. Thank you, Father God, that there's no more discouragement, no more confusion, Lord God. Thank you for breakthroughs, Lord, in every area in our life. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord some praise, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so here's the psalmist writing about this journey. And this is a worship song, and you can imagine, picture a group of folks, a caravan, getting into the thickness of these big, humongous hills, man, and you are so tired and weary from this journey, but you're not done. Listen to me. You're not done with your journey. You got to keep going, man, and it's treacherous. It's just you and a crazy environment and wild beasts, and there might be some thieves, there might be some robbers, the scorching heat, the freezing cold, but this is where God is sending you, so you have to go through these mountains to get to that place of victory. You see what I'm saying this morning? So the psalmist is looking at these hills in anticipation of what anxieties and craziness waits up there. And imagine how tired physically these people would get. Do you feel like that sometimes? Church people, do you feel like, man, God, I know you're good. I'm just so weary. I'm so tired. There's just so much going on. Okay, look at the psalmist. He's kind of in the same place. He's been on this journey. He's looking at these hills. He's like, man, the place I got to get to is on the other side, man. Way on the other side there. All that is waiting for me. And I don't know if I can take another step. That's basically what the cat's saying. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? So like anybody else, he looks inside. You go, can I do this? Do I have the strength? Do I have the knowledge? Here we are in our world. You know, something's going on. And we can get so discouraged. We're like, how do I get from point A to point B? I know I got to get there. Man, but I'm just running low on soul coal, man. I'm just wore out. I'm tired. I'm discouraged. I don't feel good. Whatever. Fill in the blank of whatever's going on with you. Okay? We cool, Rick? Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were waving at me, man. Like, seriously. Okay. So anyways, we're on this journey, and you get wore out from the floor out. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Have you ever been like that? Like, oh my gosh, this week looks crazy, man. How am I going to get through this? Or, man, I can't believe what's going on in America. Oh my gosh, I never thought I would see this type of behavior. You know what I mean? Oh my goodness gracious, how am I going to get through this? What's going to happen to the land that I love? I'm just trying to give you some for instances here. Maybe you felt like that lately. Maybe you didn't know how you're going to pay your bills. Maybe the doctor keeps giving you bad news, man. All right? Well, check this out. I lift up my eyes to the hills. There's my obstacle. I got to go through it. I'm going to the other side, whether I like it or not, because God has ordained me to get through this. God has called me to another place, another position, another level in his relationship with him. Does that make sense? I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. I love that. My help comes from the Lord. We know that. We do. My help comes from the Lord. But sometimes we got to remind ourselves, I can't do this on my own. This is way bigger than me. That's tough sometimes, man, when we're used to getting things figured out and doing it. You know, but here we are all of a sudden. We're in a situation where it's bigger. It's bigger than anything I can do on my own. And that can be very discouraging. That can be very eye-opening. When you get to a place, you're like, man, I got this roadblock. I got this wall. I cannot go any further. Not on my own. God, where does my help come from? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My help comes from you, okay? So the unbeliever, the pagan, they'll say, man, you guys are so weak. You know, you have to have that Christianity. You have to have that as your crutch to limp through life. I don't even mind when people say that. I really don't. Because they don't get it. They don't understand that we're in a family, you know, that we have actually been grafted into the family of the creator of the universe, and he loves us with an undying love. And just like all of us dads in here, we would do anything we can do for our children. You know, so he is our present help in our times of trouble, anything that we're facing. So I want us to leave here encouraged, and it's not that we're depressed. Okay, but I know a lot of people are going through a lot of stuff. And in the last couple years, especially last year, just things that we were so used to just counting on or expecting to be there aren't there and ain't been there. You know, all kinds of people are saying things, potentially scary things if we're not focusing on God. But I want everybody, man, hear me out. I got a peace, and I got a real peace, man. I'm not just up here talking the talk, man. I'm telling you, I got peace in my heart because I know that all these crazy things that are going on and all the crazy things that are going on that we don't know about, you know what I mean? God is in control. God has a plan, okay, and I'm his kid, so I'm in the best place in the world I can be. I'm in the hands of the Most High God. Give him some praise. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Maybe not your Lord, maybe not your philosophy, maybe not your holy book, maybe not what your grandpappy told you, okay? But we happen to be blessed because we belong to the one true God. Well, what's an attribute of the one true God? What's his resume look like compared to one of these other lowercase g gods that people might follow and waste their time on? I mean, no offense, but hey, you know what? I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed because I belong to the one true God. I'm in that family, and I want everybody to be in that family. You know what I mean? So I'm not knocking your false religion or anything like that, but it's a false religion. Okay. But anyways, my help comes from the Lord. But look at this. My help comes from the Lord. Okay. What's that mean? Well, here's your problem. Sister Joan, here's your problem. And it's a real problem. Sister Chelsea, here's your problem. And it's a real problem. Brother Josh, these are real problems we got. These are big deals, man. Okay, but see, this is who our Father is. I'm looking up to the hills like, man, I don't want to go down this road, man, but I've been called to go down this road. My destination is on the other side of these hills, and I can't do it on my own, but my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Think about that. Let it sink in a little bit, because you got real problems. America is really hurting, man. You know, a lot of, man, there's some folks, man, that ain't really even been able to work since like last March, you know? So there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, you know? But see, look, this is who you belong to. And this means something, okay? It's supposed to mean something. This is my help, the maker, the creator of heaven and earth. And he didn't just make it and leave it. Like some philosophies that it just kind of got out of hand and he can't really help you with what you're going through because he's doing his best just to keep this star from not bouncing into this star. And it's all just kind of like, you're on your own down there. I love you. See you when you get here. It ain't like that. He is in control of every bit of it and he knows what he's doing. And he's an awesome, loving, vigilant God. So we need to get excited. We really need to get our eyes off of ourselves. True story, man. You know, I know that we got some real problems, but we got to give it to God. That's where we're going to get the breakthrough. Can I get a witness? Look with me real fast at Psalm 11 and verse 1. This is what King David said. Our help comes from the Lord. This is what King David said. In the Lord I take refuge. There's that crutch everybody's talking about. In the Lord I take refuge. Well, you know what? If you got a choice of sinking sand that's going to wash out from underneath you where there's no foundation. And if you need a good foundation, you might want to call Boss Concrete. I'm playing. They do fine work. They do fine work. Anyways, in the Lord I take refuge. Okay? He's not just my crutch. He's my place of safety. He's the whole kit and caboodle. He's the whole hospital. He's everything. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul? Maybe David's even talking to himself. Hey, soul, why don't you focus on what is true? Why don't you focus on what's going on for real, okay? Maybe somebody else is saying I'm trying to discourage them or meaning well but trying to lead them down the wrong path. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? You know, okay, so check this out. Early December, I was back in San Antonio picking up my boy. I was meeting my boy. He was coming back from the Air Force. And I forgot about this, about San Antonio. All the trees are, like, really low, man. They got these real, like, scrubby trees, man. They're not very tall at all, man. So what happens, well, the first thing I noticed is, like, man, there's birds everywhere, man. There's birds all over the place. Well, it's not that there's more birds there than there is here. Maybe there is. I don't know. But our trees are a lot taller, man. So they build their nests up in a more safe, secure place. Well, when the birdies in that area, so I'm a scientist, I know all about this stuff. this is an observation, Courtney, that the trees are lower. They're like that tall, man. And so the bird nests are like right there in your face. And you're walking around in a parking lot or whatever, gas station, whatever. And you look over and you meet eyes with this bird. And the second the bird looks at you, it's like, poof, flies away. And they'll be walking around on the ground and you'll get close and it'll go, poof, it'll fly away. And I'm like, hey, little birdie, you don't have to worry about me. I mean you no harm. I'm not out to get you, little birdie. But little birdie don't know that. Little birdie's freaking out and scared, man. You know what I mean? So as soon as the little birdie sees you, he's like, phew, flying away to a place of safety. So here's King David. Here's David, the mighty man of God, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He says, that's not me, man. I'm not running away like no little birdie. Okay? I'm okay. I got some real problems. I got some craziness going on in my world. Okay? But the Lord is my refuge. Okay? The Lord is my protector. Can I get a witness? All right. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. This is the Apostle Paul waiting in. This is the Apostle. Look at your neighbor and say, This is the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. For the sake of Christ, he's talking about trials, troubles, and the Apostle Paul had a bucket full of hard times. Stuff that was not fair, man, you know? Sound like any of you guys going through some rubbish? It ain't fair. We just live in this world. And sometimes we're going to go through hard times just because we love Jesus. Just because we love Jesus. The ungodly, the unsaved, the pagan, they're going to have hard times. But God says, you know, if you come into my family, you will be persecuted. You will have some hard times. You will have some trials. We know. We've been talking about that for like 4 weeks. That's how God makes his man in those trials. But looky here. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. What? I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships. I don't like insults. And I certainly don't like hardships. Okay? That's what the Apostle Paul says. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses. Do you like that when your body's not cooperating? Your body's not doing what the cool kid's body's doing? But I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That is kind of bizarre, man. What? When I'm weak, then I'm strong? That's got to be someone needs to correct that. Someone needs to scratch through that because that doesn't make sense. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Okay, you know what he's talking about. I got to go through these mountains, man. I got to get to the other side, and I don't have it in me, man. I can't do it on my own. But see, the difference between a lot of folks and Paul and David is that they realize, hey, when I can't do it, well, then my dad can do it. You know, I'm trusting in him. He is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my provider. He will never leave me or forsake me. He's called me to go through this journey. I've got to go through it. Well, guess what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if he needs me on this path, guess what? He's going to make sure I get there. He'll give me what I need. Can I get a witness? When I'm weak, I'm strong because I realize I'm going to lean on him. Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil. He will not let your foot be moved. This is verse 3. I'm going to start at the beginning. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Man, that's awesome. He will not let your foot be moved. Okay, so remember, the psalmist he's painting us a really cool picture of this journey to the temple in Jerusalem, going through these treacherous hills, man, these slippery slopes, man, with scorpions and snakes and dinosaurs. I don't know. But all kinds of crazy stuff, man. You know what I mean? But he's like, hey, man, God's called you on this journey. He's not going to let you slip. He's not going to let you fall. Okay? Isn't that cool? The best place we can be, man, is heading in the direction where God's called us to be. That's where we want to be. We want to be obedient to his will. Okay, that's the safest place in the world to be. Okay, that's going to keep us from a lot of painful, stupid consequences, right? Okay, that doesn't mean we won't have trials, because we certainly will, but that's where we want to be. We want to be in God's will. Well, how do I get in God's will? Take the word of God and do what it says to the best of your ability. When you can't do what it says and you don't know what to do, say, my eyes are on you, God, because he is truly our shepherd, right? He's our shepherd. And he's not hiding a bunch of things, man. He's not hiding everything, you know. Okay, I sure would like for you to do this and have this work out in your life, and maybe you'll find that, you know. No, man, he says, obey the word of God, okay? So your shepherd, what's the shepherd going to do, man? He's going to guide you, lead you, direct you. So we need to listen to him, and he'll correct you, all right? So that's what we want to do. We want to follow the word of God. And if we get off course, especially if our heart's in the right place, he's going to nudge us back to where we need to be, okay? So that's what we want to be. He's not going to let us slip. He's not going to let us fall, okay? Things might be scary sometimes. Well, let's magnify God. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. He will not let your foot be moved. Man, that's good. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will never slumber nor sleep. Do you remember? I don't remember exactly when, but it wasn't long ago. We talked about the contest at Mount Carmel where Elijah the prophet was going against all the prophets of Baal. And the prophets of Baal, they were doing all this rigmarole. See, the deal was, Elijah said, it's time. He threw down the gauntlet. It's time, okay? Here's the deal. Israel, there's only one God. You need to decide who you're going to serve. Either serve Baal, which is a fake doo-doo God, or the Most High God, okay? And he said, we'll just settle this right now. All these prophets of Baal versus me right here, who's trusting in the Most High God, we'll have this contest. We're going to have this altar right here, and we're going to have this moo cow. And whoever's God is able to consume this, light this thing on fire without us touching it, without us throwing any spark on it, that is the God, and that's who we're all going to worship. Prophets of Baal are like, okay, cool. They get to go first. So the prophets of Baal are doing this thing for hours and hours. They're like, oh, Baal, they're trying to get this demon's attention, man. We'll see. These false things, man, they're going to lead you to a dead end. They're not going to pan out in the end. There's not going to be any real peace or any joy. There's not going to be any eternal life at the end of any of that stuff. So anyways, they're doing the thing, man, and Baal's not answering them, and they're cutting themselves, and they're dripping blood everywhere trying to get their God's attention. And Elijah's just chilling, man. And he says something that is like so cool. He's like, well, maybe your God's out on a trip. Maybe he's taking a nap. He said, maybe he's going to the bathroom and he can't get to you right now. That's what he says. And they keep doing the rigmarole, and their fake God never answers. Then Elijah walks up there, has them pour tons of water all over this thing. And they shabagadoosh. All God's people said shabagadoosh. God does this amazing thing and just engulfs, man, the sacrifice. Okay, so I said all that because that's the God we serve, the one true God, who's not going to let you slip. He's not going to let you be moved, okay, because I'm trusting in him, right? So now listen, this is our God. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber, not like Baal. Right? He's not going to be taking a nap. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Our God's on the clock 24/7, man. Okay? He's always there for us. He's our present help in time of need. Now look back with me here. He who keeps who? He who keeps you. He who keeps Sandy. He who keeps Courtney. He who keeps Sister Dina. Okay? This is personal. This is the God, Listen up just for a few more minutes. This is the God that created heaven and earth. He created all this, and he says, I'm here for you. I'm here for you, that individual. You are my child, and I love you. He who keeps you, put your name right there in your neighbor's Bible. Just scribble it in there. He who keeps you will not slumber. Now, look at verse 4. Behold, he who keeps Israel. So it goes from the singular, it goes to you, to a big jam. That's what they call that, a big jam. Talking about the plural, talking about a whole nation of people, talking about God's people, all right? So look, he's not playing favorites. He's there for me. He's there for all of us. He is there for God's people. I don't know. I'm not saying it right, but that's good news. That's great news, right? Give him some praise like I'm preaching good. Behold, he who keeps God's people. Behold, who keeps his plan for America. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. God says, America, you're going to have to go through this, but I'm going to get you to that place, and it's going to be worth the journey. I'm still not done with America. Not me. Most High God's not done with America. And this is a time for the church in America to be excited, man, to really be excited, because our God is doing some amazing things. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Okay, verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. I like that. The Lord is your keeper. So our God, creator of heaven and earth, taking a personal interest in me, making sure I get to that place he needs me to be. Amen? He's not going to let me slip. He's not going to let me fall. And he is my keeper. So that means like to guard over, to watch over, to attend to carefully. The Lord is your keeper. To guard over, to watch over, to attend to carefully. That's what the Lord is. One time I was in the church and doing some little chores and stuff. And so like some glue, some sticky rubbish had come up from underneath the tile, like it does sometimes back here in the back room. And so I try to clean it up, you know, when I can, so it doesn't, you know, cause a big mess or whatever. And this particular day I come into the church, from time to time these weird little beasts will get in the church. I don't even know how they do it. So every once in a while I'll be like a little frog. I'll be in here late at night, there'll just be a little frog jumping around. Hey, little frog. Weird little things will come in. And so there was this sticky rubbish that had come through the tile, like some glue. And some little weird lizard, man. Little lizard. Little tiny lizard. Big ol' eyes. Little tiny lizard, big eyes. Was stuck to the glue. And I was like, hey, little buddy. Hey, little fella. I reached down there. It's like, don't worry. I'm gonna get you free. I'm going to set you free. I'm gonna watch over you. I'm going to guard over you. I'm going to attend to you carefully. Here in just a couple minutes, you'll be running and foraging through the grass and doing what little lizards do. And I pick him up, and I rip his lower half of the body off of him. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, man, I hope that part can grow back, too. And I let him go, and he just kind of stayed there on the porch for a while. But, let's see, I tried to do the right thing. I did. I tried to do the right thing for a little fella, but I didn't attend to him carefully. I didn't meet his specific need, man. You know, I was like, okay, there's a certain way to detach lizards from glue rubbish that comes up from underneath the tile. And I thought I had it figured out. I didn't figure it out at all. I ripped the thing in half. Well, see, that's not our God. See? Yeah. That's not. Because, see, sometimes we can think, well, my God is cruel. My God is cruel. How would he let me go through this? I won't serve your God. Your God that lets little babies starve and suffer and war and agony. I wouldn't serve that God either, man. You know, that's not my God. That's what people do. That's what people do, man, when they get their eyes off of God, when they want to do it their way. What you see in the world today, what we see in the world, this is what people, this is the best that humanity can do. This is the best we can do without Jesus. Just all this nonsense and craziness and hurt and pain and all this ridiculousness. You see, we got God. And he knows exactly how to tend to our specific needs, man. He knows what you need. And it might be a little different than what Sister Rachel needs or what Sister Joan needs or what Sister Dina needs. But he knows what you need, and he's going to give you what you need. Can I give a witness? I just ripped them right in half. I didn't know how to mean to. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Now remember, this journey, tedious, dangerous, scorching heat. Okay, I got to do it. I got to get through here. Okay, this is where my life is right now. I can't just stop and say, I'm not going anywhere. Oh, this is what I got to do. Well, that scorching heat and that freezing cold, God says, I got you. Don't worry. I got the provision for you. I got everything you need for this journey. Amen. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And that's like that whole James chapter 1 thing. Count it all joy when you face all kinds of different types of trials. Because just as different as the night is from the day or water is from fire, we're going to face all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, the daytime has different scary things than the night does. That's some good, that's how you talk. That's good English. That's good. Okay. Nighttime scary. Nighttime scary. Fire burn, baby. Okay, so, you know, there's different things you got to worry about at nighttime, right? God says, whatever it is, whatever's freaking you out and the things that you're freaking out about because you don't know what could happen, don't worry about it. Trust in me. Follow my word and move forward. Can I get a witness? Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Hey, I heard that before today. God is our refuge and strength. He's strong enough. He's my place of safety. When I'm weak, I'm strong because I pull from his strength. He will give me the strength I need. Isaiah 40, verse 29, he gives strength to the weary. You feel weary? Well, God's got strength for you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. Well, I don't feel like he was very on time with what I was needing to happen in November or whatever. No, man, God's on time. God's on time. I don't really know of him to ever be early, but he's always on time. So if he's not on my schedule, that's okay, because we're not here for our schedule. It's his schedule, man. And he'll make a way where there is no way. I know that doesn't make sense, but one day it'll make sense, young one. Never mind. God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. So what I like about that, man, is, so this preacher said a while back, I heard it a few years ago from this guy. He was like, Christians are undestructible, however you say that word, until God calls you home. And that's certainly true, isn't it, you know? We'll have our trials, our pains, these things. But you know, you're going to be here until God's done with you. Until you've accomplished what God has called you to accomplish, you're going to be here, okay? The Lord will keep you, remember, to guard, to watch over, to attend to carefully. This is what God's doing for you guys and for me. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. Okay, he holds back the flood. Satan's like, let me at him. He's like, shut up, dude. Just shut up. Stand back. He will keep us. Isn't that good? The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Is that true? It's totally true. Just sometimes we give in to that temptation. Like, it was too strong for me. I had to. Look, man, it is too strong for us, but not when we lean on the Lord. All right? I can do all things through Christ. So it's like there's always a back door to get out of that. We don't have to give in to that. And then talking about trials, man, God does not allow trials to destroy you. He allows trials to mature us, to grow us up. And for one of the things, he allows us to go through trials so we learn, I can't do this on my own. I got to have him. Okay, moving forward. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I love that, man. So like in the day-to-day, well, God's in control. God's watching over me. The mundane existence of this is what I do on Mondays. This is what I do on Tuesday, whatever. Okay, this is just what I do. God's keeping me. He's watching over me. He's protecting me. He's guiding me. You know, like we don't even begin to think or ponder a lot of the times. Okay, let me say it like this. Who knows how many times God has spared our lives, man, and we never even know about it. Never even know about it. You know? But God's watching over you. All right, what a wonderful thing. And then the crazy, scary stuff where we're not supposed to be freaked out. God's saying, I got that too. So we got to go on the other side of them hills, man. That's where God's called us to, the other side of them hills. But God's going to get us there. Our job is to trust in him, be obedient to his word, and keep putting one foot in front of the other. Can you dig it? No, I don't know why I get so silly. Psalm 138 and verse 8. The Lord, this is good. This is good. This is one of my friend's life verse. This is my baby's life verse. My baby mama's life verse. Psalm 138 and verse 8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Listen to that. The Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love. Aren't you glad his love's steadfast? You ever been uncool like overnight? Like somebody in your life, you thought, oh man, we're gonna be best friends forever. Or man, we're in it forever and ever and ever. Then all of a sudden they drop you. And you spend months trying to figure out what happened. What happened? Well, look. I can change, baby. Look. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love. Isn't it cool that God has a purpose for you? Maybe nobody ever thought much about you, but God does. God does, and he says, I got something big for you to do. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures. Isn't that wonderful? Forever. His love endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Oh, don't give up on me now, God, which he won't. So all is well, church. Everything's good. We just got to keep trusting in him and obeying him. And if we mess up and get off course, let him direct us right back. Amen. Father God, thank you so much for giving us strength and courage, Lord, to persevere. Let us have an open ear to your word, Lord. Let us hear your voice. Let us be obedient to you, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful, amazing things that you're doing in this land, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our homes. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.